إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله حقا وصدقا. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله, by the grace of Allah, today gonna be in this khutbah gonna be the beginning of a new series about the Muslim family. What is the how to build a Muslim family? What is the character of the Muslim family? And what are the guidelines that is supposed to be preserved and used to build the Muslim family? And how the Muslim family members, their rights and their obligations. And that's, inshallah, when we get to this point, going to be about how to select the spouse, how the man should select his wife and the wife select her husband, and how to raise the children, and what is the parents' right, and what is the relatives' right, and what is the neighbors' right. All of these issues, inshallah, they are covered in this series, and they shall be covered, inshallah, in this series. But we want to start, like usual, by giving some definitions. And this definition, it helps us to understand, inshallah, and have a better keen understanding and use for these teachings, inshallah, from the Quran and the Sunnah. The first thing we want to start with is the Muslim home. What is the Muslim home? The Muslim home, it is the place where the Muslim family stay in it in a temporary basis. Not in a permanent basis, in a temporary basis. Why? To develop a Muslim character. So the purpose of having, there are two major things that distinguish and make Muslim home unique from any other home. That everybody in that home, they know that it is on a temporary basis. Why? I'm going to live here temporary because the internal life is there, not here. So this is a station. It is a temporary basis. What to do in this temporary basis is to develop the Muslim character. So the purpose of home is not to sleep in it or to eat in it or to watch the television and to watch the football. I'm not saying none of those is bad. But what is the ultimate goal is to develop the Muslim character. There is a principle I like we all to agree upon. Okay. Muslim who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah has only one goal in his life and one problem in his life or her life. The goal is to use everything that Allah gave him and use the gift of life to qualify to Allah's mercy in this life and after. And the only problem that you have in your life is in any given time you don't know how Allah see you. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you or not? Accepting you or rejecting you? If that's the goal and this is the problem, you will find automatically you are directing your activity to do what? To accomplish the goal and to eliminate the problem. You in your 24/7, you can do so many things, so many activities. Some of them, they can help you to accomplish the goal and to solve the problem. And some, they are nothing. Nothing merely but wasting time. They don't help in either way. They don't help you to accomplish your goal, to qualify, and they don't help you to solve your problem. So building home, so any activity you do in your life, it's supposed to be geared toward this. That's including building the home. So now the Muslim home, like I said, it has two major attributes. It has two major attributes. Everybody living in it, live in a temporary basis. I know that I'm leaving. So you're going to behave like this. The second is that's the station where I'm going to build my character, the Muslim character. Okay, what is the Muslim character? The Muslim character got four major attributes. And when I say a Muslim character, immediately I am dropping nationality, I am dropping language, I am dropping age, I am dropping sex, I am dropping anything that it can separate in between. Because the Muslim character is the Muslim character. If we're going to adhere to this character in Pakistan, you're going to be the same thing in Egypt, the same thing in London, the same thing in Paris, the same thing in New York. And the rules will be observed the same. Lawful will be the same. Forbidden will be the same. So the Muslim character got four major attributes. Please be with me on this one, because that's how your character is supposed to be and the character of your household is supposed to be. There are four major attributes. What are those attributes? Number one, the Muslim conscious. Okay, what is the conscious? The conscious is what motivates you to act. Whatever motivates you to act. Sometimes we see somebody and say, that is a real good, wholesome person. He got a conscience. And sometimes we see, that man is really has no conscience. That means what? His motive in the first one is good, and the second is bad. But how good or bad we will know? Or when we know that this is a good conscience or this is a bad conscience. The conscience itself had three attributes, three characteristics that must be there. Number one, that you know al-haq, you know the truth, and you apply the truth and you stand up by the truth. So three things you have to do to build the conscience: to know the haq, the truth, you do the truth, and you stand by the truth. The second attribute, you know the unlawful, the forbiddings, you don't do them, and you take a stand against them. That's the conscience. You cannot tolerate seeing wrongdoing. And that's what Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam promoting. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyuqawwimhu biyadihi, faman lam yastati' fabilisanihi, faman lam yastati' fabiqalbihi, wa hadha adhafu al-iman. Whomever see a wrongdoing, what are you going to do? Change it by your hand if you can. If you can't, by your tongue. If you can't, by your heart. And that is the weakest form of iman. And what is the third attribute of conscience? The third attribute of conscience, zikrillah. Zikrillah. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ana al-layl wa atraf al-nahar, all the time. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Surah Al-Anfal, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين. ذكر الله. Or by another word, they are not daring to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We in the Muslim culture have, I don't really have a real right word to describe it. And I cannot even emphasize how bad it is. It's called al-jur'a ala Allah. Al-jur'a ala Allah, that means You can say Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, how are you? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I'm doing fine. And you use the word of Allah as a slang. The word of Allah is used as a slang. And when you look at your deed and what you are doing, it is all wrong. It is all making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. There is no shame. There is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes to the point that we justify wrongdoing and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless it. A lot of people doing wrongdoing. And they say, Alhamdulillah, this drama, it came to be a good. And they are in it in a form cannot, can no way or form or shape to be accepted. Or others and others and others. So you justify the behavior and you justify the wrong thing and you use the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a dead conscious. Conscious got assassinated. Got killed. But how we develop the conscious? Where we get the conscious from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ. Noor. Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam saying what? تركت فيكم ما إن تمسكتم بهما لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا كتاب الله وسنتي and حديث آخر كتاب الله وسنتي رسوله I left among you what if you follow you will never go astray كتاب الله the Quran and my tradition السنة human nature plus the message the product of it is what a conscious There is no conscious. You cannot have a conscious without the message, without the Quran and the Sunnah, because they are the one who are telling you what is right, and they are the one who are telling you what is wrong. Or other than that, what's good for me is right, and what's bad for me is wrong. As simple as this. So the first thing that everyone supposed to Developing the home to build the Muslim character is the conscious. And I urge every parent till we get to the point to talk about how to raise the Muslim family and how to raise the Muslim child. Please, never tell your child, don't do that because what are the people going to say about us? How are we going to look? Don't ever do that. Raise the child from the minute that they are able to realize things. That means they are barely started to walk. Do this so Allah will love you. Don't do this because Allah will be... Allah will not gonna love you. Till when you tell him the word of Allah, make him grasp. What? Did I do right or wrong? You have more than 90%. You say to the people, Taqillah, and the answer is, so what? It doesn't mean anything. Allah will be displeased with you, so what? Words is going without no. Why? This is not the job of the masjid or a sub of faculty. This is the job of home. You did not build in the conscience of that human being, that innocent soul, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ That is the conscience. And that's what you're supposed to be after. That is the first attribute of the Muslim character, having a Muslim conscience. Okay. And look at how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so keen. Because he knows this is the first milestone in not only building the character, but building the family and building the whole entire ummah. He knows. And look at that hadith or that dua supplication. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says what? اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه Number one وأرنا الباطل باطل وارزقنا اجتنابه. Number two. And the whole supplication is number three. الدعاء ذكر الله. So that is سيدنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام was so keen and calling our attention. Says, say it, make dua, build the conscious, build your conscious and build other people conscious by that dua. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna attiba'ah wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna iktinabah. Oh Lord, give us the faculty to see the truth as a truth and give us the courage and the strength to follow it and to do it, and give us the faculty to see wrongdoing is wrongdoing, and give us the strength to stop it and not to do it. Building a conscious. That is the job number one for the parents. And it is the job number one, it's supposed to be developed in Muslim home. What is the second attribute of the Muslim character that it must exist in the Muslim home? At-taqwa. Taqwa Allah. At-taqwa. And what is the taqwa? Taqwa, by the English language, it is the piety. Okay, what is the piety? In the Arabic, the word taqwa, it comes from a verb, it's called qih. Qih, that means protect. Take a shield against. So when you say taqwa, that means you are taking a shield against Allah's anger. So the muttaqi is the one who takes the shield against Allah's anger. And how you do that? Number one, khashyatillah. You have in your heart the khashyatillah. There is no taqwa without khashyatillah. And what is the khashyatillah? Khashyatillah, it means that I love Allah enough to automatically wanna please Him. So automatically I am obeying Him. I love Him enough to try to please Him, to work hard to please Him. And the second part, the second side of the khashya coin is what? I am afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point I cannot disobey Him. You can love your child and you are working day and night to please Him, but that does not mean you are afraid of Him. And some gangster can come and put his gun in your head and make you do exactly what he wants you to do, but that does not mean you love Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. When you do it because you want to do it. But you know how and you know your limitation. You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough to try to please Him by obeying Him. And you are afraid of Him not to ever take Him for granted. Take His mercy and forgiveness for granted. The second, al-amalu bil-tanzeel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. All branches of knowledge that it has been introduced to the mankind, you need to be good at it so you can start functioning. Teacher, engineer, lawyer, doctors, whatever that is, you have to go very long in the study so you can start to function, except the religion. Religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it like the mother milk and pack it and send it so it can be used right away, immediately. And the more you learn, the more you apply, the more you see the benefit. You don't have to take a PhD in Sharia so you can know what you are doing. Not everybody will know that. Allah sent this magnificent message to the people that you don't know how to read and write, as well to the people extremely smart. So العمل بالتنزيل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send the Quran and the Sunnah is to be in books and to be on the shelves. when Sayyida Aisha radhiyallahu anha was asked how you describe Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was her answer? كان خلقه القرآن. If you want to see the Quran alive, if you want to see the Quran in the street, look at Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? قد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. That's your role model. But we're going to get to that later. But the point here, العمل بالتنزيل. The Quran, Allah did not send it to be in books and to be on shelves or to be a, to open it to bliss, thinking that we are getting bliss by reciting or using to open ceremonies or occasions like funerals and weddings and whatever that is. No, it is a constitution of life. 24/7. That is your guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. And the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad is the best implementation to this teaching of the Quran. The best human understanding and implementation to it. So you need them both. The third element to develop a taqwa is al-ridha biqada'illah. Accept Allah's decree in your life. In a lot of time, we think being a religious person, that means everything in your life will go exactly the way you want it. You want to be healthy? You want to be wealthy? You want to be powerful? You want to be a religious person? Who said that? Who said that? If this is the measures that we're going to use, we will find out the prophets and messengers, which they are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in deep trouble. The majority died very poor, very sick. They had the hardest time that any human being can have. Does that mean that Allah is displeased with them? No. But we have to learn how to accept Allah's decree in our life. And look at everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us is an act of mercy. Either we think it is right for us or wrong, it doesn't make any difference. Allahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah all knowing, you don't. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ Allahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeking revenge from you. Allah did not create you to punish you. Allah created you to have mercy on you. So when Allah managing your affair and giving you what you're giving, look at what Allah gives you and see where is the mercy in it. What is the message in it? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do out of it? Maybe He's taking something away from you because He wants you to go to a complete different direction. We have to learn how to read the message of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to every and each one of us in His life. And the fourth element of taqwa, al-istidad lil-rahil. If I'm going to pass, ask a question, the answer, we don't even need to know it. Are you going to die? The answer unanimously going to be 100%, yes, I'm going to die. But when I pass the question, do you feel you're going to die? That's where is our problem is. Our problem is that we don't know that we're going to die. No, we do. The problem is we don't feel it. We just don't feel it. I am strong. I am young. I am healthy. Maybe the one next to me. Who told you that? Maybe you already had your last meal. You already had your last sip of water. You already pleasing the last number of breathing that you can breathe while you don't know it. And I hope some of you can go to the internet, to YouTube, and write down sudden death under videos and see how many persons, mighty, young, strong, some of them even they dropped dead in while they were playing games. Some they were doing a broadcast, some they were doing interview, some they were praying. اتخذتوا على الله عهدا أم تقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون. I am positive every single one of us can say at least in his lifetime he knows one or more incidents that people died with no introduction. Just happened. What makes you think that you are not the next one in line? And if the angel of death come now, are you really ready to go? You can say, I did everything. I used the gift of life the way that I supposed to do what? To solve, to accomplish my goal and to solve my problem. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I did the best that I can. If Allah give me more time, I will do more. Or you will get caught. Okay, one time I came and I gave khutbah about it was a conversation between a scholar and his student. And the scholar asked the student a few questions, but to make the long story short, he said, I learned it from you. And I committed myself that I will never be caught to the angel of death in a state of sin. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know where I'm going to die. But one thing I can control. I will never allow the angel of death come and hit me while I'm in a state of sin. That part I can control. Is that what we are saying to ourselves? الاستعداد للرحيل. Are we ready to go? Are we ready to leave? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this moment. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب العالمين. When وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيي. When the situation of the death comes and the mind in a state of intoxication, you think like you're gonna die Hollywood style in your bed or in a hospital and somebody holding your eyes, holding your head and the flowers and the roses around you. It doesn't work this way. You will be in a state of intoxication. You don't know where are you. You don't know who are you. You don't know what to say. You don't know anything. And in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it to the believer. And I hope we will be among them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّل, not تَنزِل, تَتَنَزَّل, waves. Not one coming and after another, waves. Of angels coming. تتنزل عليهم الملائكة. لا تخافوا. No fear. ولا تحزنوا. No sadness. What more can be peaceful and give you tranquility in your heart better than this? That's the worst situation that you're going to be in it. You think that you have a hardship? Wait. سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم said, The worst thing in this life is the moment of death. And the easiest thing in the hereafter is the moment of death. So you haven't met yet your true challenge, which is the moment of death. And that's what you and I supposed to be preparing for every single second by asking Allah to make it easy. Ask Allah to make the shaitan go away. Ask Allah to make the angel take care of us in this. To make it short, to make it easy on us. This moment of death. تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة. That is where the happiness, where there is no sadness after. And وَلَيَهَزُوا بِاللَّهِ on the other side. وَإِسْتَرَى الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. اللهم حرمها علينا يا رب العالمين. And if you see the wrongdoers in the state of death, والملائكة and the angel, يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. They are slamming their faces. They are still in the bed. Slamming their faces and their sides and their back. اخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم. Get out of that body. Get out of that body. Mr. I am. What do you think you are? You are nothing more than one breath go in, and if you go in, it's not going to come out but except by Allah's permission. And if it is out, you cannot get it in by your permission. That's how strong you and I. And we keep cheating and dealing and wheeling and deceiving till we find out the reality. And what is the reality? You are dust from dust to dust, leaving whatever behind you, dust. Dust from dust to dust, leaving dust. Because it's going to come the minute where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لمن الملك اليوم? No one will answer. And he will answer, لله الواحد القهار. Don't ever let anything fool you. Don't ever let you anything think that you have any kind of mighty. Money, power, position, health, intelligence, knowledge, whatever there is. Dust from dust to dust. Have mercy in yourself and start to recognize this fact. Be kind to yourself. And know yourself. And the best thing that you can do to yourself is to prepare. Use the gift of life to prepare for the moment of your death. We all plan for our trips. We all plan for everything. Plan for your death. Prepare your grave. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, show us how to prepare our own graves. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. And forgive all our sin. And all our mistakes. And all our shortcomings. And give us a second opportunity and second chance. And give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran. And the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And apply them in our life. So we can live in peace. And we can die in peace. And inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, wa ashhadu annahu qad ballagha ar-risala wa adda al-amana wa nasaha al-ummah وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. So now the Muslim character, like I said, they have four attributes. The first one is the Muslim conscious. The second one, تقوى الله. How about the third one? I'm going to be very brief. مكارم الأخلاق. سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم said what? إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. The final touchdown or the final touch point of the whole development of the life is what? مكارم الأخلاق. Like the fetus in the mother womb. It stays 9 months there. Why? To be developed, to be able to qualify in the living after, in the next life. Ears, nose, eyes, arms, legs, digestion systems, heart and whatever. It takes seconds, comes from one environment to the other and live. But he's been prepared in it to live, not in the mother womb, and the next one. Here also, look at it, you are in a bigger mother womb. But in develop here is not the legs and the ears and the eyes, but to develop makarim al-akhlaq. To develop makarim al-akhlaq. The best ethics that you can do, because that is the criteria that you need in the hereafter. And inshallah, that will be a lot of discussions about that. And the fourth element, which is al-amr bil-ma'roof wal-nahy an al-munkar, promoting good and fighting evil. The Muslim ummah never been in a situation lower and worse than it is now. And it is not lack of knowledge. And I can tell you, in any Muslim country, you can have in any given state, any given city you want, number of scholars and hafizat Quran, hafiz, more than the scholars in the history of Islam. So in any given city, you can have enough scholars, more than what it happened, the number in the whole entire history of Islam. And I'm not exaggerating. Why we are going under by the second? A lack of knowledge? No, there is no lack of knowledge. But lack of a people promoting good and fighting evil. They say to the wrongdoer, stop. When they see right, they stand by it. Everybody turning his back, thinking that his prayer and his fasting and that's what going to qualify him. These are nothing. All the rituals of Islam, starting from declaration of the faith, prayer, fasting, zakah, and hajj, they are nothing more than the vitamins that you need to build the Muslim character. Nothing but to build the Muslim character. And what? How you know the Muslim character? By those four elements that I'm talking about. Muslim character promote good and fight evil anywhere, willingly carrying the responsibility and the consequence. And never think for a second, and I'm going to repeat it, never think for a second that you will see a wrongdoing and turn your back on it, and you will not going to be asked about it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revenge in the Quran comes, and some people, and he said what? وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, a whole city, تِسْعَةٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْتِ, only 9 wrongdoers. 9. You cannot put them in the corner here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the whole entire city. Because all of those people that they've been worshipping and praying and fasting and doing all the goodies, what happened? They let those 9s do what they want to do. They allowed them to do it. And everybody turned his back and said, let the other one do it. There is no such thing, to the best of my knowledge, in Sharia, call a strong wrongdoer. No. Wrongdoer, when he comes to be a strong, that means he's a person knows how to invest your fear, lack of interest, and turn him against you. So he's using his own power, your power, to give himself more mighty, to be more. Look at the history of the whole entire mankind. You will never ever see an army invaded a country that the number of it, the number of that army, they equal or greater than the number of the citizens of that place. But their leaders know how to invest the people's fear. And fear comes from ضعف الإيمان, or no iman. Britain, the one that has had the Britain environment. Do you know what is the population? 42 million. And they are juggling the world around. Do you know when they invaded India? what was the armed forces? India was 700 million. 700 million living soul in the Indian land. And that's in that time, including Pakistan, both Pakistan and Kashmir. Do you know what is the number of the invading army? 800,000. 800,000 conquered, controlled 700 million person. And that's not a discredit to the Indian people, because that's all over the place. And this is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never used the word da'if, weak, but he used the word mustad'afin. Mustad'afin means what? Wanted to be weak. They wanted to be weak. When you stop promoting good and fighting evil, you cancel everything. You cancel the Muslim character, you cancel the Muslim family, and you cancel the Muslim Ummah. Thinking that the ceremonies that you do or the rituals that you do will qualify you to anything. So we have to understand. I hope that this khutbah will be the first milestone in building the Muslim home and building the Muslim character. So why are we having the Muslim home? To build the Muslim character. And how we know the Muslim character? Four things: the Muslim conscious, the taqwa Allah, makarim al-akhlaq, al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahi an al-munkar. Muslim conscious, the piety, the best ethics, and promoting good and fighting evil. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us by giving us the chance to develop the Muslim character for in ourselves and for our families and in our ummah, inshaAllah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Uzkurullaha yazkurkum wa la dhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lam ma tasna'un wa aqimis salah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.